We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. You know what I've done, eh? I sent my message to my iPad and I didn't download it. But that is not a transmission because I've got my laptop here. So if I can ask, Christy, won't you just open my laptop for me? And I'm going to start preaching in any case. I know what's in the Word. I know what I've prepared. And God will bless it in any case. Who knows that today is Palm Sunday? See, Conrad? You got to come prepared. I came prepared, but I'm still human. I've got it wrong. Hallelujah. But it's not a transmission. Today's Palm Sunday. Today is the day that way back then, I don't know, Lily, if you can get that picture up, please. Today is the day when Jesus, it commemorates the day when Jesus rode on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. And the people threw their clothes in front of him, and they threw the palm branches down in front of him, and they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it was preparation, because by the next, in the next few days, 6 days' time, he would be crucified. And then on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. So today we commemorate that day. And I'm sorry it didn't come out so brightly. But as I was pondering that, as I was thinking about that, the Lord took me to that scripture in Psalm 24, where the psalmist starts saying, who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? And it all came together for me. And this morning I want to speak to you about who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 24, I just want to start the message by reading that scripture. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. I'm so used to using my iPad now that I can't use my Bible anymore. Thank you. Yeah. Right. I'm just going to read that scripture and then I'm going to open my laptop up and continue. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. And with that, I can preach my message. Who is this King of glory? We sang that song in the praise. What did it go? Grace. This is amazing grace. And those words, the King of Glory, was in that song. And I just knew that the Lord was speaking to us this morning. And then we continued, and one of the worship songs spoke about the King of Glory again. So when Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was known as the triumphal entry. Triumphal entries were not uncommon in Jesus' day. Sorry, I'm so used to working with my iPad. Working with a laptop is a bit difficult. Can I ask you guys, Josh, why don't you just go into, it is connected, it should pick up. Just go into my office and see if you can pick up that mail. I'll just sit here and see if you can pick up that mail that I sent to myself. Triumphal entries were things that took place. The Russian generals at the time would come into a city and they just defeated the enemy. And they would come in, and behind them would be the army, and behind them would be the slaves, those that had been captured in battle. They were naked, they were exposed, they were shamed. But for the Russian generals, the Roman generals, I'm rushing into this message. The Roman generals, they would come, and the people would throw clothes in front of them, and the people would wave palm branches and give them great glory. But it was for glory of man, not for glory to God. But they would get the glory because they'd won a great battle. And then there's another account in the Bible of a wonderful, a glorious, triumphal entry. And it's that is why I read Psalm 24, verse 7, where those gates opened and the Christian went out, open up, who is this King of Glory? Let him come in. You see, what had happened was David was bringing the ark up from where it had been kept, and he was bringing it to Jerusalem. And there was a great procession, and David was sacrificing oxen, and there was great pomp and ceremony. Why? Because they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem. What did the ark represent? The ark represented God's presence. They were bringing God's presence, the evidence of God's presence, into Jerusalem. And this, as you go and read up about it, it says they came to the gates of Jerusalem and the shout went out, open up the gates! Open up the gates! And the gatekeeper said, who's there? And they said, it's the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? He's the King of Glory, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. It was like a battle procession coming in. A powerful King of Glory was coming through the gates of Jerusalem. And they said again, open up the gates. And they said, who is this King of Glory? And they said, he's the Lord of Heaven's armies. Hallelujah. And it was reminiscent to me of God's presence coming into Jerusalem. And there was another day, the day Palm Sunday. Thank you, my son. Oh, amen. I hope this is the right one now because I changed it this morning. It wasn't the old one that you found, Josh? The old one. Okay, I'm just going to leave it like that. Because I prayed this morning and the Lord showed me some new stuff. Twice they asked, open up the gates. And twice they said, who is this King of Glory? It meant it needed to be repeated. There needed to be some emphasis on it. And then when Jesus came in, riding on the back of the donkey, it was what that pointed to. You see the ark coming in. God wasn't in the ark. God's presence descended in the tabernacle and in the temple, but God's presence wasn't in the ark. But when Jesus came riding on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem, the actual King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came into Jerusalem. Can I hear praise? Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. They asked two questions. Who is this King of Glory? And they got two answers. The first answer was, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Nobody can overcome Him. He's strong and mighty. He's invincible. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of Heaven's armies. The Lord of hosts. He was coming in. He was indefeatable. But yet when Jesus came in, He came riding on the back of a donkey. He didn't come as a glorious general who'd overcome and who'd killed and who'd slayed. He came as a humble servant on the back of a donkey. A general would have come on the back of a chariot or on the back of a wonderful horse, an Arabian stallion, with all kind of glory and pomp and ceremony, and the people would be bowing before Him. But Jesus came humbly on the back of a donkey. Do you know the people in those days? If you were rich, you had a horse. If you were poor, you had a donkey. Even today, it's the same. Amen? If you go and look in the rural areas, the very poor, they don't have cars. They don't even have bicycles. They've got donkeys. Jesus came riding on the back of a donkey. And yet it says, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord invincible in battle. When David brought the ark, the people rejoiced. It was so necessary for them to have the presence of God in the midst of the people in the capital of the nation of Israel. It was so important for them. It was key. It was of utmost importance. That's why they made such a big thing of it. And I want to ask you, church, in our lives, how important is it for us to say, come in, King of Glory. Come in, you who are invincible. Come in, you who is the mighty one in battle. Nobody can slay you. Come in, you who is the King of the hosts of God's armies. Oh, amen. The King of angels, the King of man, the Creator of heaven and earth. How important is it for us to ask Him to come in? He's an awesome, triumphant and powerful God. In Exodus 15, they were speaking about this King of Glory after God had brought the people of the Israelites through the open Red Sea. They were asking this question. They were singing the song. Miriam wrote this song. And in Exodus 15, verse 3, they speak about this God. It says, "The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is His name." Exodus 15, verse 6. "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your majesty, in the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow those who rise against you. You unleash your blazing fury. It consumes them like straw." Do you know when God's fury is released against the enemy? Have you seen a felt fire? A really good felt fire where the grass is dry. We haven't seen felt fires yet because the rain came late, so the grass is all green. But have you seen how tall the grass has grown? Can you imagine what's going to happen when it's dry? We're going to see raging felt fires. What's left when the felt fires pass? Nothing. Ashes, blackness, nothing. It's flat. There where you couldn't see anything lying in amongst the grass, you can see everything that was there because it's all burnt. God consumes His enemies in the same way. Where there were once a mighty and powerful enemy, He breathes out fire against them and they become nothing, like ash under your feet. Amen. That's the King of Glory. That's the King of Glory we're speaking about. Yet He came humbly on the back of a donkey and He entered Jerusalem peacefully. Not with a bunch of captives in His trail. Not trying to bring people down and make them shamed. Not to try and say to them, "Well, your life is over, you're worth nothing, you're a slave." He came to make us free from being slaves. This King of Glory. Oh, how we need God's presence in our midst. When they brought the ark into Jerusalem, it was a picture of Jesus Christ. The mercy seat was a picture of Jesus Christ. When they brought that ark into Jerusalem and shouted, "Open the gates," it was representative of God's presence coming in. The mercy of God. When they would bring the sacrifice once a year, it would get sprinkled on the altar upon the ark between the two cherubim on the mercy seat, and forgiveness would come to the people. What would happen if the ark wasn't there? What would happen if God's presence wasn't there? There would be no forgiveness. There would be no reconciliation with God. But God's presence was there. And on Palm Sunday, this event came to place. That bringing of the ark into Jerusalem pointed to Palm Sunday. And it pointed to this scripture. It was prophesied in Zechariah 9 verse 10. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Zion. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious." He is righteous and victorious. But He's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And then on Palm Sunday in Matthew 21, have you got your Bibles here? Turn with me to Matthew 21. Read from verse 7. "They brought the donkey and the colt to Him and threw their garments over the colt, and He sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of Him. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession. And the people all around Him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven.'" That spreading of garments before a dignitary was a signal or a sign of submission. As Jesus came and they threw the garments down, they were submitting to Him. They were showing submission. Waving the palm branches was a token of victory. And yet Jesus had not won any battles. He had not fought any battles. Yes, He had, but in the spiritual realm. But He had not fought a battle or killed anybody. Jesus came in, the victorious King. And I'd like to say it was a pre-procession. Because the time when Jesus was going to fight and win the battle was on the cross. It was still coming. But He did win that battle and He rose from the dead. But I've got something that I'm heading towards and I'll show you later on. The people hailed Him as King and they shouted hosannas.
They saw him as the son of David. A son, they knew that his lineage was the lineage of David. And they saw him as a great redeemer that was going to come, not to save them from their sins, but to redeem them from the Roman oppressors. They saw him as the one who would get an army behind him and go and overcome the Romans. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's plan at all. And when they saw that that wasn't what he was going to do, as quickly as they came to throw their cloaks before him, as quickly as they came to bow before him and submit to him, they turned their backs on him and they crucified him. And church, I want to ask you today, have you been asking God to do something in your life? And the answer hasn't come in the way that you expected. The answer hasn't come in what you wanted from God. And have you turned your back on the Lord possibly? Have you maybe turned your back on God because God has not answered you as quickly as you would have liked? Have you possibly turned your back on God saying, well, God doesn't care, God doesn't love me? Let me tell you, God comes with every single thing that you may need today. He knows what you need. He is the one who will lift your head. He is the one who will meet you in your area of need. He is the one who will deliver you from the enemy. He is the one that will heal you. He is the one that will give you a job. He is the one who will make you well. He is the one who will bring your family back together. What will you do if he doesn't come in the way you expect? Will you turn your back on him? Or will you let him have his way and move in your life? There was even a word that Richard and Cynthia. What will you do? Will you wait to let the one, the King of Glory, come in and have his way in your life? Amen. That's what he wants to do this morning. But they turned their backs on him. They walked away from him. They said, crucify him! They said, let Barabbas loose. We'd rather have a criminal. Once again, just like as the procession was coming in with the ark to Jerusalem, the people said, who is this? Let me try to show you. In Matthew 21, I hope you're still there, it says that, this is the problem with working with my laptop, because it scrolls way too fast. I'm about to end the service. Aren't you happy? I must apologize for this, church. All right. In Matthew 21, verse 10, it says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. And I want to tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, the entire army of Satan is in uproar. Because they're saying, who is this? Who is this that's coming into there where we had dominion? Who is this that's coming in to take authority? To take our authority away and to place his authority? Who is this that is going to make this person a child of the living God? And they said this. The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You see, sadly, they knew his name. They knew where they thought he'd come from. They said it's the prophet. They didn't know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't know he was the Messiah. They said it's a prophet from Galilee. No, it was the King that came from Bethlehem, the promised Messiah. But the disciples weren't so ignorant. Jesus himself asked the disciples this question. It was just phrased slightly differently. In Matthew 16, verse 15 to 20, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You see, they knew. They'd been around Jesus. They knew he wasn't just a prophet. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, not Peter the rock, but the rock of the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King of Glory. On this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. You see, when Jesus came, the King of Glory, when He came as the Messiah, He didn't just come with victory for Himself. He came with victory for you and for me. This morning, we have bound the working of the enemy. We have loosed God's victory over life. Larry, did the Lord touch you this morning? Did He? Otherwise, we must pray for you again. Amen. But we've been binding sickness and disease. And we've been losing healing and victory. But church, what we need to do is we need to realize that that King of Glory lives in us. Because sometimes we live in this thing where the King of Glory is in, but we have not acknowledged it. And when we get sick, we look to the cabinet that carries the headache tablets. Amen? We look to the doctor. We don't look to the King of Glory. And then we wonder why we stay sick. When the enemy comes to buffet us, when our finances go bad, we go to the bank instead of to the King. Remember what Conrad said? There are channels through which God works. But it is God that's our provider. It's God that's our healer. He might work through a doctor, but He's our healer. He might work through a headache tablet, but He's our healer. And sometimes we don't need a doctor. Sometimes we don't need a headache tablet. Sometimes we just need to trust the living King. Amen. Now, here we go. Let's see if I can page down without losing anything. In the New Testament, the answer to the question, who is this King of Glory? The answer is, you are the Messiah. You are the King. You are the One. Amen. Have you answered that question in your own life, church? Have you answered it? Have you accepted this Messiah? Against this truth, not even the spiritual powers can stand. I've written here, all the powers of hell will not conquer the church because the King of Glory has entered. Turn to the person next to you and say, the King of Glory is inside. To the person on the other side. The powers of hell won't prevail against you. If the King of Glory is in your life, you've got victory, church. This King of Glory has now entered heaven and He holds the keys to hell and death. But He also holds the key to heaven. And when we invite the King of Glory in, guess what? The doors to heaven are unlocked and open for us. We follow the King of Glory. We follow because we follow the victory procession. He is seated in Christ. And we are seated with Him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where's the enemy? He's under our feet. Amen. Yes, it's about time, church, that we started saying amen. And I've been struggling to bring this message. But God is with us. The same awesome power that is in the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord invincible. The Lord, the King of the armies of heaven. He's in us. And that same power is in us. Hallelujah. And when the enemy comes against us, and once we've entered in and followed the King of Glory, and He's the King in our lives, He's opened the door to our heart, and we've let Him in, and He's the Lord of our lives, we will come against the powers of the enemy. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We will bind things in heaven and on earth. We will loose things on earth that will be loosed in heaven. When the King of Glory comes in church, we have victory. Amen. And you know, I haven't gone away from the message, but I felt this morning as we were praying that this is what I need to tell you. I don't even mind if the message ends here. When we were praying in the back there, we started to come and stand against the enemy. And what the Lord showed me is if we allow the King of Glory to come in, the enemy will flee from our lives. And God has got victory for you, church. You know, Jesus didn't come to overcome people. He didn't come to kill men. He came to overcome the powers of darkness. He overcame them fully, totally, properly, once and for all. It's done. And He did it for you and for me. He did it for you and for me. He went to the cross humbly. It was as though He was defeated because He was a sight that no man wanted to look at. But when He died, He carried all of our sins with Him. carried all of our sickness with him, and he made the enemy powerless. In his death on the cross, the enemy's power was broken once and for all. Amen. And the enemy wants to come, and he wants to bring guilt and condemnation, and he wants to make you weak, and he wants to make you feel, I can't do this, and he wants to bring sin into your life and make you feel like there's no hope for you. He may wants to make you feel like that you are nothing. You're nothing in the kingdom of God. You are not good enough to lead other people to Jesus. Maybe that's why we haven't been leading people to Christ. Because we feel we're not good enough. But Jesus got us the victory on the cross. And the enemy is under our feet. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And there's victory for you. Rachel, there's victory over this thing in your heart. Amen. Because Jesus did it on the cross. The King of Glory has entered in. The King of Glory. Say, the King of Glory. The King of Glory. He's in my heart. He's in my life. I will overcome. Hallelujah. We can say, Hosanna. Jesus didn't come to conquer man. He conquered the enemy. He made a public spectacle of him on the cross. Just like those captors that followed the Roman generals naked, embarrassed, ashamed. Jesus made a public spectacle of Satan on the cross, and no powers of the devil will ever be able to stand proudly before you or before me when the King of Glory is in you. Because when he looks at us, he's reminded of the cross. He's reminded of his shame. He's reminded that the King of Glory has entered. He marched through on the back of a donkey. Humble, in humility, he fooled the enemy totally. Because the enemy thought he's going to come and try and fight me. But God did fight with him. He just fought with him in God's way. In God's way. He fought with love. He fought with hope. He fought with eternity. He fought with something that was very precious to him. He gave his very own son. Amen. The kings in those days, they would stand, even in today, the president will stand, let's talk about America, he'll stand in the Oval Office, he'll say, okay, we'll send the troops in. Where's the king? In the Oval Office. When trouble comes, into Air Force One, we'll go and fly him to the place where he's going to be put underground somewhere safe. We'll shoot off and destroy them with our atomic bombs. We'll send our troops in. You know what God said? I will lead. I will come in person in the name of Jesus Christ. I will lead my army. I will go first. And you know what? I will destroy them all on the cross. They don't have to do a thing. They need to stand and worship me and invite me in. Open the gates so that the King of Glory can come in. And all of the power and all of the victory becomes yours and mine. Isn't that awesome, church? He conquers not nations, but he conquers our hearts and our minds. As we were praying this morning, I just started to cry because the Lord's presence fell. God didn't come with physical power. He came with awesome spiritual power. But you know that this King of Glory came to bring peace? Let me just go up and read that scripture again. Zechariah 9 verse 9, where the prophecy came. It said, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph. Shout in victory, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious. He's humble, riding on the donkey's colt. And then in verse 10, it goes on to say this. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will remove them. What does that mean? Will I remove those of the armies that have come to take over Jerusalem? No. He said, I will remove the battle chariots. I will remove the horses. Those are your implements. Those are your weapons. Those are your guns. Those are your way of overcoming the enemy. But God said, when I come in, I will remove all of those things. Amen. Because why? Because he fights for us. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. And your king will bring peace. And listen to this. To the nations. Not just to Jerusalem. To the nations. Because through Jesus Christ, he brought peace to all mankind. You see our king. He's the King of Glory. But he's also the Prince of Peace. He will destroy. We don't have to have weapons. God has given us mighty weapons, okay? But our weapons are spiritual weapons. We don't have to pick up guns and go and shoot people. We don't have to kill people. We don't have to enter the battle with our fists. We enter the battle in the power of the living God. We enter the battle with the power of the Prince of Peace. We enter with peace, and peace overcomes. Love overcomes. Love gives us the victory. So, church, this morning, what I want to say is, have you opened the doors to your life to allow the King of Glory to come inside? Does the Prince of Peace live in your heart? Does the King Invincible, All-Powerful, Almighty live in your heart? Does the King that has got the keys to heaven live in your heart? Because if He does, you've got access to heaven. You've got access to invincibility. The enemy will never overcome you. You've got access to peace. You've got access to eternity because the gates of heaven have been opened. You will never lose. You can't lose if the King of Glory has entered in. Can I ask that somebody come and play or get ready to play that video that I have? This time it's going to work. What does this entrance of the King of Glory mean to you and I today? Well, I've said it gives us entrance to heaven. In Hebrews 9 verse 12 it says, with His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured, our redemption forever. He secured our redemption forever. You know, when we go to the bank, we go and secure a loan. We've got to sign all sorts of things. We put down that the house is representative. It will cover the loan or whatever. Jesus secured our redemption forever with His precious blood. It can never be changed. We can boldly come before the Father's throne of grace. Hallelujah. Let's watch this song. Praise the Lord. Is He your King this morning, church? Revelation 3 verse 20. Is this thing on? It's on red. Revelation 3:20 says this. And this was Jesus talking to the church. He was not talking to people that had not yet received Jesus. It says, see, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open, I will come in and dine with you and you with me. Why do you think Jesus asked that of the church? Because there were people whose hearts had gone closed. There were people whose doors were closed. There were people who weren't living out the reality of the King of Glory in their lives. They might have accepted Jesus, but was the King of Glory alive in them? Let's stand together this morning, church. And with our eyes closed, I want to ask you this question. And I'm going to ask us to play that again, but this time, Trigia, I want you to take the volume right down so it's just in the background. I want to ask you this question, church. First and foremost, is there any person here this morning who's never asked Jesus to come and be their personal Lord and Savior? He's not the King of Glory in your life. God wants to give you victory here this morning. Is there anybody like that? Can I see? Is there anybody? Just raise your hand. Do you need to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life this morning? Let me see. Is there anybody like that? Just do this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see. Are you raising your hand? Just raise it high. Let me see. Yes. See your hand going up there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to pray this prayer with you. Just keep your hand up. And pray with me. Close your eyes. Let's pray this. Say, Lord Jesus. Let's all pray it. Lord Jesus. I love you. I thank you that you're the King of Glory. And that you want to reign in my life. I open the door to my heart. I invite you, Lord. Not just to take control of my heart, but of every fiber of my being. Mind, soul, body, spirit. Come and live in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then while you're still with your heads bowed, I want to ask you, if you're standing here this morning, it's no shame. If you're standing here this morning, the enemy's been buffeting you. And you need to open the door of your heart and allow Jesus to come and reign in the way that I've preached about this morning. Victory over the enemy. Victory even when it seems like our prayers are not being answered. Maybe you've just grown cold. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. I see a bunch of hands here. Lord, I want to pray for each person that's raised their hand here this morning. Lord, our lives need to be open to you. Our Lord, we need to trust you in every aspect and every area of our lives. Where the enemy has come to buffet, to rob, kill, and destroy, there you've brought life and that in abundance. Lord, even when our prayers don't seem to be answered, we say you are still the King of glory. We declare that we will serve you regardless, no matter what. We love you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for each person with a hand raised that you will move in their lives, that you will give them a new start, a freshness. We invite you in, Lord Jesus. Come and have your way. Come and have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. And then finally, I want to ask for one more thing. And this I felt led to do this morning in the back there. And you may know who you are. This is my shock if I ask this church. You know that the enemy has come and taken possession of your being. Is there anybody here this morning that needs deliverance? The King of Glory needs to come in. When the King of Glory takes residence, the enemy can no longer be in your body. He cannot be in your spirit, in your heart, nowhere. He's got no residence. But the King of Glory needs to come in. And if you're here this morning and you know that you've been battling spiritually, and it feels every time you're getting up, where you feel like you're growing spiritually, the enemy just comes and slaps you straight back down on the ground. I want to pray for you because I believe the enemy has maybe taken residence in your life. And that's a hard thing for somebody to come and answer. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Just raise your hands. Come, my sister, come forward. Is anybody else like that here this morning? Anybody else? God's going to move. He has got awesome power. Is there anybody else? You may be seated for a moment, church. We won't be long. Is there anybody else? Don't stay there because you say it's time to go home. Because this is serious stuff. I need your connect. Will you come? Yeah. Thank you, church. Thank you for putting up with me. I stumbled a bit at the beginning of the sermon. I don't know why. But maybe the enemy didn't want us to hear this. And maybe I was just put off because I didn't have my little safety blanket of my iPad there. Let's stand. We're going to close the service in prayer. Hallelujah. Have you enjoyed the message this morning? Do you believe that the living power of God is in you? And you are invincible in Christ. Amen. Over the enemy. Amen. As we go to the back, I'm going to ask Glenn to close the service in prayer for us.
Lord God Almighty, we thank you so much that once again, Lord, you have shown yourself strong. And I pray, Lord, that every person that leaves here today will leave with a knowing and a belief in them that the same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in every single one of us. And with that, Lord, we want to thank you that it's not our power that might run out. It's not us that might get sick. It's not us that's going to run out of energy. It is your power, Lord. Your everlasting power. Your everlasting might. So, Father, we just pray that we can go out and do your will. I pray blessings upon every single person that has been here today. And I thank you, Lord, that we will come back and there will be more of us next week. In Jesus' name, amen.